Good morning. Is this on? I thought I was going to have to say I can't say good morning to you because in just about 2 minutes it won't be morning anymore. I understand that this church records the sermons, you know. And I got to thinking, I said, well, maybe the pastor wants to hear what the ones that are preaching in his place is preaching about, which makes good sense. And if that wasn't enough, he has even sent his wife here to make sure that the recording is right. Well, the truth is, last time I was here, I gave a sermon, and in most of it was about the spirit of prophecy and the end of time and the remnant church and what was going to happen. And today it's going to be more on the scripture. You know, we need to be balanced. And this might be the worst sermon that you've ever heard. But if you have come to church seeking a blessing, God will make sure you receive a blessing even out of a terrible sermon. So it's up to you. It's not up to me. The Lord has prepared what He's going to give to you. If we bring a cup to get a blessing, maybe we'll get a cup full. But Brother Bob, if we bring a bucket, we'll get a bucket full of blessings. You know, I think the Spirit of Prophecy says that God is anxious to give us the Holy Spirit, but we're not ready to receive it. My sermon today is taken from the book of Luke. If we'd want to turn to Luke and follow, I'm going to take the chapter 18, and we're going to go through that chapter. Just a few minutes this evening. And it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And then the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So after reading this scripture, I asked you this question. Are you humble? How think ye in your hearts today? I've entitled this sermon, Right Thinking. So Jesus is here, was teaching truths that was not taught in his time. Jesus was trying to get the people to think on different terms than they were used to thinking. Do you think we too should evaluate our thinking? Is it important what we think? Does it really matter what we think? Well, let's take a look at the results of the thinking in these verses that we just read. What was the result of these two men's thinking? Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you this man, maybe it's not 14. It says, I tell you this man went down into his house justified rather than the other. So one man was justified before God and the other one was not. Now, which one was not? It was the one that was paying tithes. Do we pay tithe? Yeah. And it's the one that was fasting. Maybe sometimes we fast. And yet this man was the one that didn't go home justified. And we should pay our tithes, okay? And we should fast some. Now, I would say that it's very important to be justified before God. What do you think? To be justified before God is to repent and have your sins forgiven. To be justified before God is to be set right with God. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, and we all know that. And if we are not justified, then our sins are still with us, and we are to reap the results, which is a debased character, and will end in eternal death. So you see the importance of right thinking. If we get more and more information that conflicts with how we understand something, and the information is true and correct, then we should change our thinking about what we've been thinking. And hopefully we are asking the Holy Spirit to guide us. Because if we don't, then Satan will influence our thinking. Now Jesus also says in verse 14 that everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So even after we get more information about the truth, we are not to go around strutting like a peacock, but we are to be humble and share what the Lord has given to us with others in love. You see, Jesus is trying to change our hearts to be like His. And if we in our sinful state resist Him, and that is where the battle is, our work in our salvation is to submit to Jesus. Our work is to abide with Him, and He will change our vile hearts, our hearts of stone, into the hearts of flesh. You know, faith and works. By looking to Jesus the way He lived, by looking at the cross where He died, if surrendered to the Holy Spirit, our hearts will be changed and we will be safe for Jesus to take to heaven. Now reading on in Luke 18, verse 15, the Bible says, "And they brought unto Him also infants, that He would touch them. But when His disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto Him and said, Suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." Strange thing that's going on here. Jesus had just taught about being humble, you know, and here the disciples were pushing the little children away. It would seem that Jesus was dealing with some fellows that just could not get what He was all about. And maybe we're like that. He just got through telling them to be humble, and now they thought that Jesus was too important to deal with the little children. Is it possible that after we have heard the Word of God in a sermon where He teaches us to be humble, that we go right out and demonstrate that we have just learned nothing at all? Brothers and sisters, we are not only have to get it into our heads, we have to get it into our hearts and apply God's Word into our lives. If we don't let God's Word infiltrate every part of our lives, we won't make it. You see, the part that you hold back, that's the part that the devil will grab hold of. And he will put a virus in there and he'll crash your life. And that is the work of sin, to bring you down, down until you have no desire to come back to Jesus. And you know what that is? When you have no desire to come back to Jesus, when you have no desire to repent, that's the unpardonable sin. God can't pardon if you don't repent. In verse 17, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." So you can see here Jesus is trying to show them His character in what He's saying to them. Jesus is talking about receiving the kingdom of God, and the only way you can do that, He says, is like a little child. We simply have to take God at His word and act on it. We have a world to overcome, and only by faith in God can we get it done. There is a song entitled "Faith is the Victory," and this time I want you to turn to your hymn books, hymn number 608, and let's sing just the first verse. 608. Encamped along the hills of light, the Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world. So let us take hope of this faith that Jesus gives to every one of us. But where does faith come from? You know, some of you know I'm a co-porter, but I call it literary evangelist. Because when I say co-porter, that makes me date old. Old people say co-porter. If you don't believe it, go ask any old person that's been in the work, they'll say co-porter. Young people, they say evangelist. Now, I turned 60 last Saturday, so I'm still young. I said I'd say literary evangelist. But I asked the people when in selling the books, I said, where does faith come from? 9 out of 10 almost say the heart. And I said, well, that's not true. I said, the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And I said, God is the one that gives you faith. It says, I think it's in Romans, in chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that's pretty simple. The gospel is not complicated. We are lost. God knows the way and offers us salvation. We accept it by faith and dig into His Word and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And this is how we cooperate with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, we're back in Luke 18 and verse 18, and it says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Of course, he didn't know it, but he was talking to God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, the lawyer said, all these have I kept from my youth up. What he's saying is, I keep the commandments. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. And he's saying the same thing to all of us. Now let's stop right here for a minute. Jesus knows us. There's no doubt about it. You can fool everyone else, but you can't fool Jesus. He can read your mind and is reading your mind right now. At this very instant, he knows what you're thinking. He knows where each one of us is lacking. He knows where we fall short, even if we don't. And He will let us know if we don't resist Him. You remember where David prayed to God in Psalms 119, 23 and 24? It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting. That is the way you and I need to feel. Do you want God to search you and try you? Okay. Or are we stubborn like Judas and hold back? We tend to want to hold on to ourselves. I think something was mentioned in Sabbath class that we don't like to give up ourselves. We like our dislikes. We want to be ourselves. We even like ourselves. They certain things about us is not like, but in some strange, weird way, we like it. It may be our temper, or it may be a workaholic, but we like that about ourselves. And we don't want to give it up. Sin holds on. It has a vice-like grip and will not let go. But when we surrender to Jesus, then we have the power that sin cannot resist. Jesus is able to get rid of all the sin in us. And that's right, all the sin in it, all of it. Jesus will present us perfect to His Father. As mentioned in Sabbath school, God will have a pure people. This is where faith comes in. If you don't have faith, you just look at yourself and say, ain't no way. We look at ourselves and we can't see how this can be done. And this is what Satan wants us to think. He wants us to doubt what God says. He wants us to focus on ourselves and our sins, but Jesus is what we are to focus on. We glance at our sins, but we stay focused on Jesus. It says, let us keep our heads looking up and believe God's promises and go forward day after day. You know, the one thing in my Christian walk that I hold on to when everything else is seeming fallen apart, whether it be sickness or finances or mental or anything, and that is the promises of God. I believe what God says. And he says, yet thou lackest one thing. Now, Jesus doesn't tell the lawyer what he lacks, but he reveals it to him. He brings it home to him, and Jesus says, go sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So he doesn't tell him what he lacks, but he tells him to do something, and there's that battle. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And at this point, the man knew that he was a selfish man, that he only thought of himself, that he had no trust in God, no faith, and it is good to know where you stand, but what is not good is that the man was not willing to change. He was not willing to give up his lifestyle to follow Jesus. I've seen people that would not join our church because they couldn't play basketball on the Sabbath. Because they were into basketball or whatever. They something that crosses what God wants you to do and what you want to do. And you have to be willing to give up everything. And when you are willing to give up everything for Jesus, there's a peace and a love that just overwhelms you. And you're like Isaiah, send me. My brothers, this is what is happening all over the world. This is what causes the shaking. People are saying no to God by the little decisions that they make every day. They're saying no to paying their tithe. They're saying no to keeping the Sabbath. They're saying no to eating healthy. They're saying no in the way they dress. They're saying no in what they put on. In simple terms, they are their own God. And they decide what they will do and not do instead of letting God guide them. In the end, as they persist in going their own way, as they persist in rejecting the Holy Spirit, God will grant them their own choice and give them over to their own reprobate minds, and they will be lost. Now turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Here's how it reads. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, what did God do? God also gave them up. In other words, he let them do what they wanted to do. Gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, when you come upon a truth that you don't want to do, you find some way around it so you can live with yourself. You know. And they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against them. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was to meet. Now listen to this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I was in a doctor's office this week putting in a Bible storybook. I've been in there years. I've been in this work about 6 years now. And I had been in there every month leaving that Bible storybook. And as I was putting that Bible story book in the office, the nurse said that the doctor says he don't want that stuff in here anymore. And I said, okay, you know. So I start picking up the books, and there was a patient that was waiting for the doctor. And as I was walking out, he said, they're not going to let you put the Bible stories in here anymore? I said, I guess not. And he was upset. You know, the world is changing. The world is changing. In verse 24, and when Jesus saw, well, we're back in Luke 18 now. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said to the lawyer, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's harder for a rich man? It has to do with security and need, I think. They think that they have security. They don't see that they have any need. Their riches provide what they have. I'd rather go to a... We have houses, we name them A, B, C, D houses. And I'd rather go to a C house any day than an A house. Now, A house is these here rich $500,000 houses. Now, there's always an exception. But the majority of the rich just don't have a sense of a need for spiritual things that others do. Their riches give them all that they want. And so a Savior that says, surrender all of that up and follow Him is just out of the question. It doesn't have to be that way. They can listen and submit to the Holy Spirit. They can realize that all their riches come from God. They can become humble. They can think of others besides themselves. They can accept God's principles into their heart. They can, like all other human beings, see their lost condition and accept Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, to save them from their self-seeking, sinful lives that leads to death. Now in verse 26, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? You see, their thinking was so opposite from Jesus' thinking. Now we have come full circle in our talk today about right thinking. Today we need to ask ourselves this question. Is our thinking in harmony with Jesus' thinking? Do you want to be one with God? Do you want to change from your bad habits? Do you see your lost condition without Him? Do you, like the disciples, see yourselves as so sinful that you're tempted to think that it is impossible to be saved? Hey, I have thought myself, you know, there's no way I'm going to ever overcome all these sins. But then when I look and see what Jesus did, you know, I overcome my sins by what He did. His blood. Let's read the last scripture, verse 27. And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now that's a promise. That right there is a promise. So where is your faith today? Who do you trust? Who has control of your life? Where do you get your direction in life? What is your foundation? Is your foundation, you know, in yourself? Is it in what you've read? Is it in your old age because you've been through so many years of Adventist teaching? You know, what is your foundation? Let it be in the Word of God. Is Jesus your Savior, your friend, your ever-present help in time of need? Have you humbled yourselves and repented of your sins? Boy, God's asking a lot of questions today, isn't He? Have you committed yourself no matter what comes? If you want Jesus as your personal Savior, if you want to be committed to God right now, tomorrow and forever, then I want you to stand with me right now. And the investigative judgment is going on right now. We don't know when our names will come up. But if we claim the blood of Jesus and remain faithful, one day we'll hear Jesus say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And we don't have to wait till then. We can enter into the joy of the Lord right now. Now let me tell you a little short story. You know, Jesus told stories. There was this man, he had just a little bit of money. Sounds like a coal porter. He had a little bit of money and he had to take this trip from Maine to Florida. And he had just enough money to buy a ticket on the boat and maybe $2 left. He was trying to figure out how he could stretch that $2. So he went and bought him some crackers and cheese. That's what he bought. And he got on the boat, and that evening for supper, he ate part of his crackers and cheese, but he wanted to save some for the next. It was a five-day trip. And so the second day, he ate all the rest of his cheese and crackers. The third day, he was starving. He went to see the cook in the kitchen, and he went into where the cook was, and he says, I'm starving. I need some food. The cook run him out. Run him out. And the next day, he couldn't handle it. So he went back to the cook, got down on his knees this time, and begged him for some food. And this time, the cook realized that this man was serious. And he picked him up. He said, sir, he said, don't you realize that when you got a ticket for this boat, that gave you all the things on this boat was free. All the food. When we accept Jesus, all the treasures in heavens are ours. We can enter into the joy of the Lord right now. And we can do that by faith. And I want to sing these last two verses in Faith is the Victory, 608. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcome the world. To him that overcomes the foe, what raiment shall be given? Before the angels he shall show his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, we'll vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. What's the victory? Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. God bless.